You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I am Steve Dotto and we are glad you are joining us in this holiday edition of DottoTech. We're going to take a look back at the year that was and we're going to take a little bit of a look forward at the year that is to come. How are you doing, Art?
Good. Now that I'm thinking about it, this one year I've gone from non-smartphone to seeing what life is like with a tab to now going to an iPhone 4S, all because of you.
This is the year that you joined the DottoTech team, and this is your first year with us. It's been a good year. You feel more tech savvy now?
Oh, absolutely.
And your friends who know that you work on this show now, do they ask you tech questions that you have no idea how to answer?
Not yet. I just tell them if I see that they have a puzzled face when it comes to tech issues, I say DottoTech.com. That's it. I just push them towards your website.
Which doesn't answer any of their questions.
No.
Not even close. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do on the show this week is we've got Jillian Shaw and Lindsay Smith back on. We're going to take a look at the year that was. We're going to take a look at the top stories of this year of 2011. Of course, we'll talk about things like Steve Jobs passing, and we'll talk about the technology and the things that really caught our attention. And then we're going to put on the crystal ball, and we're going to gaze ahead into what we think are going to be the top tech stories of 2012. It is going to be a wonderful year on DottoTech. As the year 2011 comes to a close, I think it was a little bit better than 2010, but not a lot better. It wasn't a great year in the year of in the annals of great years.
Yeah.
What a great opening. Steve Dotto here. I've got Lindsay Smith and Jillian Cheyenne to help me hearken and welcome the new year and to remember the year that was. How are you, ladies?
Good. I think we're more alive than you are.
Getting off, obviously.
Here's the problem. Too damn much turkey.
I think so.
Still suffering that.
Tryptophan.
What is it? Was it to sleep, right?
The turkey or the special stuff you put in the coffee?
No, I don't drink much. I'm thinking that's one of my New Year's resolutions is to drink a lot.
Drink more.
Yeah, I got to, because I don't have any bad habits. And you know, my fear is if you don't have at least one bad habit, when you hit like 65 and you go to the doctor and if he says, if you don't cut out your bad habits in 6 months, you're dead. If you don't have any bad habits in 6 months, you're dead. You know,
so you better start smoking.
They're like an insurance policy. That's what I figure. They're an insurance policy. And we're not going to talk about New Year's resolutions yet or tech resolutions. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later. Let's talk about the year that was and the top stories. And you know what? I think I found a really nice little article from the Mother Nature Network, of all people, who give the top 10 tech stories that I kind of want to go through with you because I think they've done a good job of articulating the top stories, but with one caveat. I think that the top tech story this year is the story that I see happening on the desk in front of me right now. A year ago, if we were doing this show talking about the technology that the top stories, in front of each of us would be a notebook computer. Right now, the three of us have iPads in front of us. I think this is the year of the iPad. This is the year iPad came in. 2011 was the year iPad came into its own and has, at least for the geek set, it's changed us completely. It's changed how we compute. Do you travel with a notebook anymore?
No, not when I can help it. No, I don't actually travel with a notebook. I occasionally lug it in if I have to take it someplace, but no, I don't travel. I can't carry around that big, heavy notebook.
And how big is your notebook?
Oh, it is about the size of that brick sitting in front of you.
Still it's a big one because it's a Vancouver Sun.
And it's army issued.
Yeah, army issued, yes.
with the extra battery, I have to have an extra person to carry the battery.
Oh,
it's just ridiculous.
Lindsay, what about you? Because you got a little 13-inch MacBook Pro, don't you?
I do, and I still travel with that quite
you
a bit. Although
it?
I am thinking of trading it in for an Air because I don't actually need the CD drive or the DVD drive. I just want something that's powerful and really slim. I do, because I travel a lot for business, for me, if it was just from a consumer perspective, absolutely the tablet would be more than enough. But for business, it's
what
just,
about a round
tab?
Like if you're just going to meetings and stuff, do you take your notebook that you always do? You always take your notebook.
I take
my tablet.
I used to take a paper notebook, and now I take my tablet.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I used to take a paper. I used to take a computer in, but now I take the tablet. Yeah.
I don't like going into business meetings with a computer in front of me. I never did because of the fact that when you pop open the screen in front of somebody, I think that it kind of breaks down or it puts up a barrier between you and the other person having having a conversation. So,
and they think they're just checking Facebook.
Maybe when I was dating, that was the problem. Is I kept opening my notebook, and we never seemed to click.
Oh dear! She probably thought you were checking on Plenty of Fish.
I was looking at her picture, saying, "Is it the same now?"
I have to say though, while we're talking on the topic of tech and going back and going forward and all of that kind of stuff, how do you guys still feel about people being on their smartphones when you're in a meeting or when you're at a dinner table or something like that? Because I always thought it was completely acceptable when we're in kind of an exchange and everything's equal. But I was recently in a situation where I was pitching them for something for my company, and the VP was sitting there for the first 3 minutes of the meeting on his BlackBerry, and it totally threw me off my game. I was like, I have just spent 40 hours preparing for this, and you don't even care that I'm here. It was terrible. Anyway.
I've seen worse than that. I've seen people, I've sat in conferences and watched panelists, and while one panelist is speaking, the other panelists, like they think we can't see under the table, is looking, at the floor with their hand holding their BlackBerry.
It's rude in the extreme.
That's pretty pathetic. And who is, we're not all president of the U.S., right? Can they live without us for 5 minutes?
The more senior the person in the room, the more they are likely to do it. And it's something that we have to, it's almost like, it's almost a political correctness thing that we have to start training people on. Like, we had to learn to stop calling women girls in conversation. The girls in the office, that 20 years ago, that was a thing that you could say. We learned not to say those sorts of things.
I kind of like that.
Okay.
You didn't mind that.
I don't want to grow up.
You're like Peter Pan. You just want to be called the girls forever. So, maybe that should be our first resolution. Are we agreed? Is that the first resolution?
Not texting. It's a politeness thing, and we do it socially with our partners too. I was on BC Ferries the other day, and of the people in the restaurant area, in that fine restaurant that is BC Ferries, there was like maybe 14 couples eating. Of the 14, a couple were talking. One couple was playing cards. They weren't eating. They were playing cards. They were like playing crib or something. 9 of the couples had one or the other person on a phone or computer while the other one wasn't, or they were both on. They were sitting at the same table with their, obviously, their brother, sister, husband, wife, whatever. And they were texting or they were browsing the internet on smartphones. And I actually walked up to the people that were playing games and I said, there's an app for that. but just this, and you sit down in a restaurant and you'll see, even in a nice fine dining restaurant, you'll see people doing things online while they're sitting with a person.
See, here's the other side of it, though, is that we're encouraging people to be on social, to check in to different locations, to tweet about what they're doing and be more social. And I get that side of it and I appreciate that side of it, but there's definitely a really gray, blurry line out there right now about when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate, and trying to respect the people around you, but also trying to bring in your social network
creating
from the online world.
Yes, creating a division and finding the right places to do it. In the middle of a conversation when you're talking to somebody, in the middle of a presentation, in the middle of a business meeting, checking your BlackBerry is not appropriate in any. And what I do is if I've got my phone at, well, you know this, Lindsay, if I'm having coffee with you, if I've got my phone out, because I'm expecting something that I have to respond to, I'll apologize before and say, I might have to check this, and I put it down. But for the most part, I leave it in the bag now. I never take my phone out when I'm having coffee with somebody. I leave it in the bag unless there is the odd time when you're on deadline, when there's something that you're going to, or you're waiting for a call from your kid that you have to pick up. There's something that you have to, you're going to have to respond to. And then I apologize because it makes me think about it. It makes me think about it in that discipline. I think that's important. It's interesting because the number one thing is the social media revolution. That was the number one point of the year. And this is all part and parcel of this increased engagement. How deep are you in the pool now with social media?
Well, I'm on social media a lot, but I do think, I often think about that are we so immersed in our virtual lives that we're ignoring the people around us? Mm-hmm. And I think there is a real danger. I have gone on a digital detox on occasion, and it's actually quite surprising. You should try it because you do find that, do you ever find yourself talking to your kids or talking to, your partner or whoever, and you're actually not listening to them. You kind of you've got your iPhone in front of you, and you have one eye on the iPhone, and you're pretending to listen, but you're actually watching what's going on the screen. And I think in a way we're making a disconnect with our real life relationships, and that's something I don't think we want to do.
It's worth thinking about because, really, is the person that you're tweeting to more important to you than the person that you're sitting next to?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're tweeting a revolution, maybe if you're tweeting a revolution, I say go for it. But
aren't we all tweeting away our little revolutions?
Social media revolution is number one on the list. Number two on this list is the death of Steve Jobs. Mm. And I thought that might be the top story for the year, and for a lot of people, I think it is. But now we're 2.5 months out from his passing. Any your thoughts on that?
Well, everybody got the book for Christmas, so
yeah they're all going to read it.
Everybody got the book, and then
they're
going to
realize
said,
that he wasn't that great a guy.
Say, oh, geez, Steve, he didn't seem like a brilliant guy, but not very nice. That's the only everybody after Christmas is come to that conclusion if they got it under the tree, but. Where goes Apple is the big next question because, moving on forward, how's the company going to fare in the long term without the man who actually created it and made it successful?
And how much more gas was in Steve's tank anyways as far as real creativity and leadership? I mean, lightning can only strike so many times.
Well, they've got that huge under wraps right now, the whole revolution of the TV. They're coming out with an entirely new version of the TV. I'm sure we've all heard about it. But for those listeners who haven't, it's this concept that you're no longer just tuning into your TV. It's like a giant iPad, and it has everything from motion sensors to know who's walking in the room in order to play the specific apps. It has the Siri voice activation on it. Like, we don't know this for sure. It's all still rumor, but we can pretty much see the direction that Apple is going in. And I, for one, am very excited to see that. I know it's going to be a few years out from the time it comes to be, but I think we're definitely moving away from wanting to just turn on a television set and scroll through the channels. Like, even the cable providers right now with the interface, the digital interfaces they're giving us, they're still so clunky compared to what we're used to on our smartphones and other devices.
They're going to have to respond in some way because the passive nature of television, I think, is always going to be there. The fact that you do want to sometimes sit down in front of the TV and decompress and disengage, which is where I've always thought that the smart TVs are going to have a challenge because I don't necessarily want my social apps. I don't necessarily want connectivity while I'm watching TV. I want to watch the Canucks. I don't care if anybody else is watching the game. I want to watch the game, and I just want to relax.
Oh, you see, I think that's where social media is great. Watching a game, I always have my iPad open when I'm watching the Canucks.
Oh, I do.
And
too.
I feel like I'm in a virtual living room with all my pals watching the Canucks and commenting together.
And I do think it works from that perspective. But there's also the fact that you don't want to expend energy when you're being entertained. Do you want that when you're watching Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Well, some people do.
It depends. Like, one of my sisters. I've got six of them. Oh, so many. But anyway, one of them in her early 20s or mid 20s now. I can totally imagine her sitting around. She's got an iPhone. She's very app savvy, and she's very social. And I can completely see her sitting around and talking about the latest fashion trends, about what's going on when she's watching television shows like that, makeup, hair, fashion. I just think that's going to be a huge opportunity.
So the Apple TV would have just certainly been it might be the one of the last products then that we saw Will Steve's hands all over. So you think it's going to be a success when it launches? You think it's going to be a revolution?
I think it's a transition. I think that it may be a while before people are ready for it, but I'm guessing that people are going to be ready for it. I think it used to be that a geek was somebody who was very technology savvy. We are all technology savvy now just because the technology is so much easier for us to use and grasp. How many people that would consider themselves Luddites? Is that the word?
Yeah.
Have an iPhone and love it.
Exactly.
It's not hard anymore.
Yeah. TV has been one of the last bastions of that was a great equalizer. Everybody watching TV was the same. We all sat and watched TV and were delivered the same information. When we start making it interactive, when we start changing, it becomes a differentiator in our society, how well we can master that and how well we can use it. It'll be interesting to see with the generational issues, with our parents and those sorts of people, whether or not they can engage in this new television revolution the same way that the more tech-savvy generations do, and if it might be something that actually puts more distance between us than helps us. We're gonna take a quick break. I've got Lindsay Smith. I've got Jillian Shaw. I'm Steve Dotto, and this is Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
It is time for App of the Week, and Chris Miller comes in and we cross app swords on a regular basis. So what do you got for us this week, Chris?
You know what I really can't stand?
No,
DRM.
Digital rights management, for those of you who don't know, yes?
It's every other song you get, if you get it from a different service, it seems to just be able to work on that service or place. So there's a great program called Music Converter. And you just drop whatever song that you've purchased or gotten off one of the CDs that you legally own, drop it in there, and you can turn it into a ringtone, you can turn it into an MP3, and put it on any device you feel like, as you are legally allowed to do in Canada.
Okay. What's it called again?
Music Converter.
Music Converter.
And it's a free app on the App Store.
Converts. There we go. That does sound fairly useful. Mine is a very narrow market. It's a very narrow niche. If you have Google AdSense ads on a website, so this is the advertising service where if you've built a website and you have little banner ads or little display ads, you can sign up for AdSense, mm-hmm. and you make revenue from people visiting your site and clicking on your ads. We do it on our site. If you look on the Dottotech site, there's some Google AdSense ads down the right-hand side of our page. I like to check on occasion how I'm doing as far as my AdSense revenue goes. But AdSense, what Google does is they actually use an Adobe Flash engine to display your revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to it with an iPad, you can't see it because it doesn't display Flash.
Right.
So there's a little app called iSense, which will allow you to sign into your AdSense account, and it tells you how your AdSense revenue is going along. So iSense is my pick of the week.
Narrow but very useful.
Narrow but very useful. Yours, the DRM Overcomer, mm-hmm. is a little more broad use. So that's our apps of the week. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
App of the week is brought to you by MacStation. Book a one-on-one training with our Apple specialists or sign up for one of our free workshops. Get the most out of your Mac with MacStation.
It is a year in review here on Dottotech. I have Jillian Shaw from the Vancouver Sun, Lindsay Smith from lindsaysmith.com. I am, of course, Steve Dotto. We've just been looking at a list, a pretty good list, I think, from the Mother Nature Network. They did the top 10 stories of tech stories, and I'm just using that as a basis for our conversation. We've looked at social media revolution and the death of Mr. Jobs. They've got third Netflix. The subscribers are revolting in Netflix. This is more an American story than Canadian. Netflix is very strong in Canada. I think it's ironic that a company that is growing in subscribers and leaps and bounds is hanging on to viability by their fingernails because of the changing business model. Because as people stop renting CDs and DVDs from them, which they make a lot of money on, and start subscribing to $8 a month services, they get more subscribers and they make less money, and they're having trouble kind of making it all work out in Wall Street, and the street is being very cruel to Netflix, and the subscribers aren't happy because, especially in the States where they've got limited offerings. But I know, Lindsay, you use Netflix, do you not?
I've tried it. I unsubscribed.
You went to Apple TV. Oh, you did unsubscribe.
I did. Okay. I did. Only because they didn't have enough content for me at the time, but I love the Hollywood blockbuster, so it depends on which stage I'm at. If I'm in a place where I can have afford the time to watch a lot of the golden oldies too, great. But those are the ones that kind of get ripped off my list first, and the Hollywood blockbusters come priority.
Well, Netflix had that problem. When they came to Canada, everybody went, oh, great, Netflix. But it's like all the other services. Like, we don't even get Hulu, and a lot of the music services. The offerings are always limited in Canada. And that's what Netflix, I saw a lot of people sign up for Netflix when it first started. It is cheap. I mean, it's
$8 a month.
Yeah, probably less than going to the now fast disappearing, if there are any more, video store and renting a couple of movies.
Yeah.
You could have unlimited movies in a month. But the problem is you got to say, are these movies I want to watch?
But here's what Netflix did for me. And it's not so much about Netflix. It's about the concept of movies anytime, anywhere on my device. If I'm watching the hockey game and the kids want to watch a Disney movie, they don't have to kick me off. They can watch it on their iPod Touch. And every kid in our family now has an iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
So with a Netflix subscription for those sorts of movies, mm-hmm. they're entertained. They don't feel like they don't want to kick me off the TV. And in worst case scenarios, I'd have to watch the hockey game on an iPad, which I don't want to do. I want to watch it on my big screen plasma. But so that's it. But it's really legitimized the concept, which is where Apple's going to be moving with the Apple TV. I mean, the fact that you'll be watching it from one device to another device to another device, that does work.
Well,
and
right
it's
now,
very
yeah.
cool.
Right now, probably the best is a mix of you can get flat rate for very cheap, but then if you want more, you want the newer ones, you can go with Apple TV. You have Cinema Now from mm-hmm. Best Buy and Future Shop now. So if you want to actually have the movie that just came out yesterday, you can get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're big on that. You're big on the Cinema Now and stuff, aren't you?
I do. I haven't actually tried the Cinema Now, but I have the Apple TV, and it's decent.
Good.
I'm happy with it.
Fourth top story here is tech firms going public, and I think the marketplace has matured, so there's not quite as much hype on it. I guess the funniest one, the story that stands out to me is the Zynga story, where as if this company can't irritate me enough, for those of you who don't know, Zynga makes Farmville. They should be smacked very hard about the head and ears with a wet salamander for them making.
But they make so making. Much
money.
Well, good for
investors
them.
Are giving
billions
them a smack
of dollars.
Up the side of the head. Yeah,
but here was the thing, and their stock is kind of flat since they launched. It hasn't been the blockbuster they hoped. But here's the thing: this company that has irritated me since day one with Gangster Land and Farmville and all these other apps that are just they went to their employees. And they said, we gave you too many options when we hired you. And they clawed a whole bunch back so that they could float this IPO, which hasn't done that well. Yes. That's all I have to say about that one.
Do you know what's interesting is since that's happened, I've had several people come to me that have had similar situations happen to them with the businesses they've worked for.
The
that this happens
back the
quite
office.
Yeah, quite frequently. Isn't that terrible?
That's the little
people just aren't talking. You got
to
do some research into that one, Jillian.
You have to get those people to talk.
Well, they're being threatened with their jobs.
Pretty much.
That's what they did to the Zynga employees.
Yeah.
And that's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong. And karma will out. Story number five is mobile phones, tablets continuing to grow. I think this will be the year coming ahead of increased confusion around, because you aren't going to know what phone you're using or what one you're buying. There's just every week there is a new Android phone being launched in some new form factor from one manufacturer or another, and the number of them is just becoming overwhelming. And then, of course, an Apple's still just chugging along with the iPhone.
I remember thinking this, though, 5 years ago when I was trying to figure out whether or not to keep my BlackBerry or move on to other devices out there. I think we always – it was very depressing, because I walked into one of the big box stores and I just thought – saw this all these lines and lines of all this hardware, and I know how much time and energy it goes these companies put into building these phones, and I'm just like, it's great because it creates jobs, but at the same time it's just such a it's a waste of all of this. I don't know, if we all just worked together on the same thing, you'd think that we would accomplish so much more and be able to we're just duplicating is what I'm saying.
For 100 years we all had the same phone.
Yeah.
Now we don't.
Well, Apple would like us all to have the same, but they're working on that model.
Yeah. Yes,
someone's just got to.
Yeah, they're staying with it. I think we'll just continue to see the Android growth. In the phone space, though, I guess the story that they don't talk about is the carrier IQ story, the story itself was probably a bit of a tempest in a pot of tea, the fact that there wasn't all that much data being captured by people. On people, Carrier IQ was basically some code that was installed in phones, mainly in the States, that would allow them to track virtually everything you did on the phone. And they did it before any security measures were in place with your secure connection, say, to your bank, so that they could actually, there'd be a log file, if it was enabled on your phone, that would actually track your passwords and your account numbers and that sort of stuff. Now, how that information was transmitted, there is an investigation going on in the States. I don't believe they're going to find anything nefarious going on, but it was just a bucket of cold water over all of our heads, knowing that this code could be on our phones and we'd know nothing about it. And it was a real wake-up call to privacy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately. Yeah, I think there are a lot of privacy issues that we're just running headlong into mobile computing, thinking, isn't this great? But there's a lot of people are just doing it's, you know, mobile computing for them translates into not secure computing. So and maybe we'll start to learn more of that.
Maybe that's where RIM will be able to come back, is being able to provide back end technology, because we know that they're sinking in the mobile market. So
yeah, and security has always been their
that's
stock
their
and
thing.
Trade.
Yeah.
And even though the Carrier IQ story probably got a lot more press than it deserved on the amount of potential damage that it did, I think it was really a healthy time for it to come along to give us all a wake-up call on what's happening and to make us really severely question. The carriers have to be tremendously upset that this was all broken by a hacker who found the information and then published it in a YouTube video, and then within hours it had gone viral, and the furor that rose against them was I think well timed and well deserved. Moving on, the rise of the cloud. the cloud definitely, you know, Microsoft has been investing heavily in the cloud. And you didn't think that would be the first word out of my mouth when I talked about cloud computing, didn't you?
No, not at all.
But Microsoft has invested heavily in cloud computing, as we know, Apple and other services. And now we're getting to the point that cloud is everything, except for you, Jillian.
Yeah, well, except that I lose my clouds, or I lose, you know, it's the, I think it's a virtual version of the messy desk. We get so many, I have this storage space and I have that cloud and my apps for work come off, you know, another service. And it's just, you know, it's just like we have the world of computing at our fingertips, but now we got to keep track of it.
It is absolutely a lot. I mean, that's why we kind of, there's a whole other can of worms that open up when we talk about the Facebook Connect, but I kind of like that is the concept of a single sign-on, just using one social media network in order to get in there. I'm wondering if Google Plus, their new social community, will start developing that as well. So it's just, we'll see if that is taken care of in the next couple of years.
I'm finding it a bit overwhelming. I'm finding just using Dropbox and a few of the other services now that I am starting to lose. Even they're all designed for convenience, but because I spread myself, I want to know about them all, so I use more than one, I'm spreading myself a little bit too thin.
But you're doing it as a sacrifice for everybody else, Steve, because they're not all going to do that.
No, I'm doing it because I'm looking for the cheapest and easiest solution for me.
And then you'll just tell everybody else about it. It's great.
if I ever get my act together. But riding one horse here is always a good idea. So if you're in the Windows world, the Microsoft world, you know, it's a good idea to really have a good look at what they're doing with their Office Connect products and all of that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. and staying in that world. If you're in the Apple world, of course, iCloud is pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah.
If you're not, you know, certainly the offerings that Google are putting forward in the Dropbox world is another good option. Now, I know you've done some stories on the mobile payment systems.
I have. There are a lot. And I think that that's going, I mean, it's another, you know, it's another one of those things where they always say next year is the year of it. But I think we really are finally reaching that point. I mean, we've reached it in lots of other parts of the world where mm-hmm. we've been slower in North America. With some of these, but the whole idea of not having to carry around a wallet, but just have your smartphone in your pocket, and you know, you can pay for anything, from your cup of coffee to a can of pop out of a machine. I mean, certainly the technology's there. It's just a question of who wants to roll it out and use it.
Well, isn't it already being rolled out? I mean, I think we're talking about near field communication technology, right? Mm-hmm. That's the near field communication, and the idea that I know Google right now in the States, you literally can walk up to a poster outside a store, and because of the near field chip in the phone and the near field chip in the, is it a chip? It is a chip, but I don't know if it's called the near field chip. I might be using the wrong lingo here. But anyway, the point is that the phone quickly speaks to the poster, and then it'll feed you coupons or deals or whatever it is. And that's being used in the States. It's been used in Asia for several years. And now they're finally saying in 2012, the smartphones are going to have it equipped. So as soon as we have that, we can pay by phone when we walk into
is it going to require that bump technology where you have to tap your phone against the terminal?
There's kind of the QR codes where you use that to get information. Yeah.
But I think that will actually replace QR barcodes.
Yeah, you think so?
I'm pretty sure about that.
Now you can go and you can buy your Starbucks coffee with just your phone, right? And I don't think it's totally seamless yet, because you have to have a Starbucks
card. We've got that parking in Vancouver, but you have to phone.
No, you have to phone. I think that truly mobile is when it's like paying. And they have a lot of the banks. I think it's the Bank of Montreal. I have written about this, so I'd have to look at it. But where they do have that, where you can just tap it at the cash register.
Yeah, bump.
And pay. There's the
MasterCard PayPass.
Yeah, PayPass.
But mind you, that's with your credit card. I don't think
they have it for the back of your phone now. So basically, it's taking the same technology and just putting it on your phone.
Now, when you say they have it for the back of the phone, are they doing it with a sticker, or are they actually building that in?
In that one, they're varying ones. I think the one that we're talking about is actually something that's on your phone. It's just like having the card on the back of your phone, or the same technology.
Magnet.
So, essentially, it'll be just built into the phone.
Yeah, with Starbucks, it's actually your phone. It's not, you know, there's nothing on your phone. It's just so.
It's an app.
Just in it. Wow.
That's where we're going, and I will be very happy when we don't have to carry around a wallet and be pulling out credit cards or debit cards.
What are our men going to do when we don't have a purse for them to put all their junk in?
You will always have a purse for us.
You're going to have to carry a man purse.
Because as far as I know, makeup is not digital yet. And our cameras still take pictures of you, how you look now, and you still have to.
You'll be wearing glasses that we'll be able to remotely put. You know, you'll see us with
field distortion glasses. Yeah. I think it's ironic that we talk about the mobile payment this soon after we've talked about the carrier IQ story, which raises all these alarm bells around security. And neither of you, you're all about the convenience, and neither of you have talked about the horror of that the security story
is
going to be around.
Ago,
yeah, come on now,
we're moving right on to shopping with our phone.
We're going to move on to next year. We're going to wrap up this year. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the top trends for next year. I'm Steve Dotto and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
We have Jillian Shaw and Lindsay Smith in studio. We've just been taking a look at the year that was in technology. I think we did a pretty good job of covering that. Now let us take a look at the year that is to be. 2012. CNN's tech folks, editors, came up with their top tech trends for the coming year. And I thought it was, a good list. So we're going to work off of their list of the top trends. But before we do that, is there anything that, like, before you look at the list and cheat, anything either of you says that this is going to be the year that this happens?
I have definitely. I think... now it's escaping my mind, but the DNLA, Digital Alliance Network, help me out here, guys. Do you know what I'm talking about, right? It's the technology that's built into our tablets and our phones and our TVs moving forward that allows us to stream the media content. Okay. It's the Digital Alliance Network.
Okay,
something along those lines. Mm-hmm. I'm forgetting the acronym off the top of my head, but it's this concept that all of the hardware manufacturers are working together to have the technology within the devices. Doesn't matter what. It's like, you know how Sony has always been, everything's proprietary towards them. Well, the manufacturers are now going, it's clearly not working for all of us in our best interest. So let's make it so that we can share content between all of our devices. So sure, mm-hmm. they come up with their little apps where it looks like, for example, Samsung has the All Share, and you can stream stuff from your Samsung Galaxy phone to your Samsung Smart TV. But technically, you can do that with all of them now through anything that's on the network. So
everybody's playing that game except Apple.
Exactly. Which I think is not a good play for Apple. I think they should be playing that game because people are now going to be like, even cameras they're starting to talk about putting those into cameras. So mm-hmm. so you can, again, take the photo from with your digital camera and then just instantly stream it on to the television set.
Yeah.
And that is so powerful. And then you can choose which manufacturer you want. You don't have to be stuck with one of them and you get a better selection.
Well, Apple is, of course, doing that sort of thing, but within its own castle walls,
yes.
right?
And
but they better not turn into a Sony.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think there's any danger of Apple turning into a Sony.
No?
No.
I think they're far too innovative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
But they want
I'll
you to have that. One Apple, all your devices have to be Apple, so then you're locked into it.
Yeah.
But you're right. People are
that would be a problem if they didn't make such cool devices. The problem is that every Apple
really
device that they make, you pick up and you say, what's the first thing you say? I want this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, regardless of everything else, of not, you know, we can be as critical as we want, but the bottom line is they're good at what they make and mm-hmm. it works and it fits in our lives. And so that's why we want it. As long as they keep doing that, they've got to get out of jail free card. When they start making sucky products, then.
I think that there's other guys out there, though. Like when we talk about the Samsung Galaxy Tab, I like that tablet just as much as I like the iPad.
Dear crazy woman.
I'm not crazy. I love it.
There are fanboys out there for the Android that are every bit as vehement about the Android as you are about Apple.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
You
that's
know,
true.
You might have to have a face-off one of these days.
You know, I think that they're probably right.
It's going to be outnumbered, though, because Android's killing the market.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. I was in the minority my whole life. I'm in the minority in this room right now. I'm the only man in the room.
Yeah, we like that.
Let's go on with the number one thing that they say, that CNN says, is it's going to be touch computing is going to be the number one thing.
Which I think is kind of a bit silly because touch computing, honestly, at the Consumer Electronics Show back in 2005 and 2006, that's when that was coming to the market. We've seen it now. It's already we've already accepted it.
It is, but it's now it is mainstream in a different way now. I was speaking in Ottawa last week and was. One of the people there was telling me about their son, who's two and a half. And they went to the cottage, and they had an old CRT TV there.
Oh.
And the son walked up to the TV, tapped on the screen, and looked at his dad and said, "It's broken. Why won't it turn on, Dad?"
Ah,
and he's
so
tapping
cute.
On a television screen and not understanding why it's not a touch screen and why he can't navigate his way through a CRT television.
Wow.
Touch computing is here.
That is. Yeah.
Do you ever
true.
Find I sometimes you ever find yourself looking at somebody's computer when they have their notebook open?
Yeah, and
you
you're trying to swipe.
You're trying to do something on the screen.
Yeah, that's true. And they've added the second thing is they're calling us social gestures, and I'm not too sure what he's referring to. I was thinking when he was talking about gestures, he was probably referring to, you know, how we navigate through gestures. But he's talking about this being social gestures of using applications like Spotify or Social Reader in your newsfeed. I'm not too sure what he means by this. Do either of you have a real good feel on that?
You know, I think this comes down to something we talked about earlier about social media. How much is too much? And how much sharing is too much? And I kind of wonder, is there going to be, are we going to the point so far, is there going to be a backlash where people are going to say, wait a second, I don't want everybody, maybe you do. I don't want everybody to know every bit of music I've listened to all evening or every book I've read. Maybe people do. But I would say that we're going to the point where some people are going to stop and say, I don't want to lead my entire life in view of my Facebook friends.
You know what I think we see here is I think we see a little bit of a cyclical action happening as you advance in technology until you realize that you're oversharing and fed up, and then you pull back and you loop back, but then you don't fall that far behind. You start the cycle again, but you're ahead by 20 or 30%, and you go farther up and farther up. And so, we're going to, each of us individually is going to be going through those cycles as we do it. And in choosing which networks you engage in and which ones you use, you know, I know, Jillian, you're heavy on Twitter. That's your social network of choice that you use the most. You use that more than, say, you use Facebook or Google+. I know that because I read your cloud analysis.
Oh, you know. You see, I have got to read
Oh,
that.
I haven't checked it out since they changed the analysis on there to
over 80.
I feel like I'm being clout creeped now.
You are being clout
you
creeped.
You are. Because you're over 80% of your communication is Twitter, and only about 8% of you is on Facebook.
Well, now that I know you're watching, I'm going to change that before the next time we get
to that. But I'll know. but at any rate, I think what we do is we will start to define which ones we're comfortable with and then move ahead with those. And there's always going to be fall off and re-engagement and that sort of thing. The third thing is near-field communications and mobile payments, which is kind of what's new is old again. We were talking about that. He does talk about the future of the iPad, and he talks about the chasm between the iPad pricing and all of its competitors. The iPad starting at $500 and all of its competitors being around the $200 mark.
Yep.
Do you think it's still going to be a strong year for the iPad?
Yeah, well, you talked about the Kindle Fire as being, you know, I say, well, you can read in it, and you say, well, yeah, it's more the tablet to compete with the iPad. And certainly at that price point, and I just don't see Apple coming out with a $200 iPad, do you?
No.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
You think they will?
I think that they're going to close off the 7-inch space at some point, absolutely.
Well, they're $200 7-inch.
I don't know if they'll be $200. It'll probably be $300 7-inch, but they'll come out with a 7-inch space.
That would be smart if they did
that.
They
have to. Yeah, they should be doing that.
And I think there's a lot of people that like the smaller tablet size, too. Like, I personally would prefer my iPad to be smaller.
Yeah. Well, RIM is making a $200 tablet. They just didn't plan to.
There you go.
And with that, the final thoughts on the year that was or the year that's ahead. We're going to wrap things up. Any final thoughts? No.
Yeah. You know, I'm waiting for voice control to.
That's
I'm
a
waiting
good one.
For voice control to really work. They say that's going to happen this year.
Well, Siri. You know, you haven't got your iPhone 4.
I have iPhone 4. As I was coming out here to see you, Steve, I was trying to get Siri to call somebody, and Siri was just being really obtuse. And
I don't think Siri. Let's ask Art. Art's got the 4S.
She was texting Australia. I think
he was texting Australia. How are you doing with Siri? Is voice control working for you, buddy?
It's worked out well for me. There are times where it doesn't understand, even though I think I'm pretty clear. It doesn't understand certain things, but on a daily basis, I find new applications for Siri. Like, I can just talk into it, say, remind me to punch Steve in the face tomorrow, and it'll put it in my calendar without me having to type anything out.
I think what's coming for the year is that next year it'll punch Steve.
Next year a little arm props or a little hologram that pretends to. Yeah. Does some little move.
Virtual punch.
Yes, the virtual.
You two look like you enjoy that prospect far too much. thanks for coming in. And be smart on Christmas Eve. Operation Rudolph if you're going to drink, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think we're going to I got to find out where to volunteer. We've been saying we're going to volunteer. I want to volunteer. I've got to find out where. For Operation Roulette. That's where you drive drunk people home. I like nothing better than driving drunk people around. That's what I want to do for New Year's Eve.
Nice.
Good stuff. Thanks so much to both of you for coming in. We will speak to you next year. And then the next year when we do our wrap-up show, I'm going to play back what your predictions were this year or what you thought was a big story, and then we'll make fun of them.
Ah, great.
Can't wait.
Thanks so much to Jillian Shaw and to Lindsay Smith. I'm Steve Dotto, and this is Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Chris Gibson is the electronics buyer at London Drugs. He comes in on a fairly regular basis and fills me in on what he thinks is cool in the world, because he gets to look at and buy all the cool stuff. And you're big on AirPlay, Apple's AirPlay these days, Chris.
I love AirPlay. I have a few Apple devices at home, and that feature is just something I couldn't go back to now that I know it is out there.
So let's boil it back. AirPlay is basically Apple's communication protocol that allows you to send whatever you're viewing or listening to from one device that you're watching it on to another device. So you could be watching a TV show on your iPhone on the commute home. You get home, and now you can send that directly to the TV and watch it in all its big screen glory.
Absolutely.
You could be listening to songs on your little headset as you get home on the playlist. Now you can transfer that playlist through to the home stereo system. Have I explained it well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything on your Wi-Fi network that has AirPlay, you can have them talk to each other. And in true Apple fashion, it's easy as just selecting a button and playing it on whatever device you want.
Now, when you say you've got several Apple devices, what are the pieces of your system that make it work? So you've got an iPhone, obviously.
I've got an iPhone. I have my Apple TV, mm-hmm. and I have a few other pieces that...
you have an AirPort?
I have an AirPort, Express. But you don't need it. You can do it on any Wi-Fi network.
Mm-hmm.
So with my Apple, with my iPhone and my Apple TV, I can basically find some content on my iPhone, press a button, and select to send it to my Apple TV where it'll play on my big screen. The other thing is you can actually now get AirPlay-enabled mini systems, AirPlay-enabled receivers, AirPlay-enabled anything, basically.
So that means that, so what that means is, again, your phone is really the hub for this. Is your phone or your computer or your notebook are really the kind of the hub where you're browsing for this information? If you're watching a slideshow or if you're watching a video, that's where it usually begins?
Yep.
And so when you're talking about a mini system, an AirPlay-enabled mini system, means that you'll be able to select from your phone, instead of sending it to the Apple TV,
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to send it to the mini system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so tell me about the mini systems.
So I have the Pioneer AirPlay music system that's out in stores now. It has an iPod dock on it.
So it looks a little bit like the Bose sound dock and a whole bunch of other different types of sound
dock. Absolutely, it just looks, really nice bookshelf system with a sleek design.
Okay, now this looks a little bit different in the fact that, now you don't obviously need the Bluetooth or the Wi-Fi connectivity if it's plugged into the dock because it's charging there, but it's also got a display in it, so tell me about that, how that all works.
Well, if I'm walking around my house and I have my iPhone in my hand, I can actually play my content from my iPhone to this docking device.
Okay.
So I can basically press the AirPlay button and select Pioneer system, and the music will play through there. What the display does is that'll pick up from my iTunes the artist's info and track info and play it right on there.
Oh, so it's showing the iTunes cover flow information and all that kind of
stuff.
Absolutely.
So if you're not in the room, you know what's playing, even though
That's nice. It doesn't look cheap. It looks really polished. How much is it?
$249.
That's better than I thought it was going to be.
Not bad.
Now, how big is it? Because I'm only looking at a picture here, so it's not too big. It's like the size of a.
It's the size of a normal bookshelf system. So
okay.
it's about three feet wide.
Okay, yeah. I had something else to ask, but I've lost. And the quality of sound, Pioneer.
It sounds awesome.
Okay.
It's 40-watt speakers on each side. It's awesome.
Now, this is a very sleek, modern design. It's going to go in certain houses. You're going to absolutely love it, but it's got a very sleek, polished look to it. That's a cool product. Now, but Pioneer aren't the only ones that are getting into this game. We're going to start to see more of these down the pipe?
No. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, lots more of these down the pipe. Pioneer is one of the first ones out, but by this time next year, you'll see a lot more AirPlay-enabled devices.
So really, as people start to think about this, you have to consider that if you're going to get in, if you do have an iPhone, if you're in any way in the Apple world, if you've got an iPhone or if you've got Apple TV, mm-hmm. you should start thinking about making this work for you. Because now, do you use it yourself? Do you find you use it mostly for music, or are you using it for other media? Like, I don't see watching TV too much on my iPhone, so I don't really. They always talk about that, the capability of being able to watch a TV show on the iPhone and then send it to the TV, and I'm going, I'm not going to do that. But music, I can see.
Music, I do quite a bit. The other thing that I do is YouTube with my Apple TV.
Okay.
So I can browse for YouTube videos, YouTube clips, and play them through my Apple TV on my big screen.
See, I can see that when you're sitting down with your partner and you're not interested in what she's watching on TV, so you're browsing on your iPhone or your iPad,
yeah.
and you find a funny video and
hey,
you start
honey,
laughing
at
it. So instead of showing her the iPad or the phone, you can just send it to the TV. She can pause whatever she's watching. You can send the funny video of the dog peeing on somebody, and then you can go back to her regularly scheduled programming.
That's right.
Good stuff. All of this, of course, available for people to take a good look at your local London Drugs. Chris Gibson, thanks so much for dropping in.
Thank you.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. MacTech, brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
It is time for this week's Look at the World of Mac. So Chris Miller from MacStation joins us. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm well. How's yourself?
I did. Good. Did you eat too much turkey?
God, yes.
Oh, I feel like just having a nap for the entire show. The tryptophan, that is that an enzyme, I think, that's in the turkey? I'm dragging my butt.
Large quantities of it will put you to sleep.
And I did have, I didn't have that bad at large quantities, but it was consistent because we had so many different dinners to go to. It was like a turkey palooza.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're doing a bit of a retrospective, looking at the year that was, 2011. So in the world of Mac, if I had to, other than the passing of the founder, of Steve Jobs, if I had to look at one story from the Mac and Macintosh usage technical side, how we use our Macs, what would you say is the biggest Mac story this year?
I'm going to cheat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be iCloud.
iCloud.
iCloud, and it's cheating because it's essentially
really?
Everything.
Because I would have gone for the iPad, because even though the iPad was launched before, this was your iPad came into its own.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to go with iCloud. Okay, tell me why. Well, argue your case, sir.
All righty. iCloud is not just a service. It is the uniting service that binds all of the Macs together. Yeah, I just went a little Star Wars on you. Because what it will do is it... takes
no,
your laptop.
There is another. I did the Star Wars on YouTube.
All right.
That's good. Yoda.
It takes all of your devices, your iPhone, your iPod Touch, your Mac, your Apple TV, and just unites all the platforms in the way that MobileMe did, and especially in the way that iTunes is being brought into it. It's just meaning that it affects all of your devices. It's uniting the tech world. And so it's not about one single device. It's not about one iPad. It's about how you use all those devices together in a seamless way that you don't even think about.
And Apple's certainly starting to put a lot of media energy behind that as far as their latest round of television mm-hmm. advertisements. We certainly see that. But I'm wondering if really that iCloud is not the biggest story for next year. It's the thing looking forward. Because it hasn't caught on yet. I don't think it's caught on with the great unwashed of the Mac community yet.
It's true.
People are still upgrading to iOS 5. People are still upgrading to Lion. You know, some people haven't upgraded to Lion yet, like me.
Mm-hmm.
So soon, I've got everything ready. I bought my Magic Trackpad. I'm just afraid. I don't know why. I'm just a little bit afraid.
Fear of the future.
Yes, fear of change. But iCloud as the story of the year. I think it is ultimately going to be a tremendously significant thing. I would question whether or not it's the biggest story of the year. But from your perspective, then, what is the best feature of iCloud?
The single best feature of iCloud would be, I would say, I'd say the single best feature of iCloud is what I've just been saying. It's the uniting. It's the platform nature. It's not a widget that it makes it cool. It's the fact that it is the base foundation upon all of which the other operating systems can be based on.
Well, I and maybe I can help you out here, because since I threw you under the bus with that one, but in my mind, iCloud, the key about iCloud is it's about the data. And data is what's king. Mm-hmm. It's your content. And so be it your music, be it your videos, be it your documents. Those are what's most important. We only use these devices to access those thoughts, those memories, those documents that we want to work on. And iCloud gives us a place for them to become ubiquitous.
Mm, good word.
On all of our devices. So that's it. So iCloud. Product of the year for you, iCloud. I'm going to say product of the year for me is still going to be iPad. Mm-hmm. The main reason is it's just, you know, I'm looking around to the studio and, you know, all my guests, except for you, you come in with a computer still. Almost all my guests now come in and sit down with an iPad. And last year, at this time, we all came in with notebooks.
That's true.
And 1 year, the change is profound there. And so I think that the end, you know, that's...
But I would say that what's allowing everyone to come in with iPads is the cloud.
No, it's the iPad is what's allowing them to come with iPads, the fact we have it.
The chicken, the egg,
no,
across the road.
No, it's the iPad. but you do have tremendous merit with that. So thank you very much, Chris. I want to wish you and yours all the best in 2012.
To yourself as well.
Thank you. Chris Miller from Mac Station. For all things Mac, check out Mac Station.
Mac Tech is brought to you by Mac Station, your environmentally friendly solution. Trade up to the newest technology. Save taxes on the new machine. Give a second life to your old Mac. Mac Station, who said business and pleasure don't mix?
Well, just like that, we've gone through the entire year, Art. We're pretty much done.
Yeah, I know. Wednesday, we got a couple more days till the new year, 2012.
Our next show will be in 2012. That's right. And I would be remiss if I did not mention at this point our good sponsor and friend, Bill Macklem, Billy Mac Mortgages. If you are interested in your mortgage, if you want to learn more about making sure you have the best mortgage possible, Billy Mac with an I, that's the place you want to go. Bill Macklem, I trust him for my mortgage. Make a New Year's resolution. Make sure that you pay less to get more with your house next year and check out Billy Mac. Bill Macklem Mortgages.
That's also if you don't believe in the Mayans and that the world's going to explode.
Oh, that's right. Is it supposed to happen like on?
I believe it's
January 1st.
No, it's like the end of December 2012. So if
we got lots of time.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you believe.
Why
that
would you bring that up?
Because I'm just saying if you believe that your mortgage is going to be another 20 years. If it's only going to be a year, who cares? 1 year mortgage, no big deal. But if it's another 20 years, then come on. I'm just saying.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Billy Mac just, probably doesn't have a lot of Mayan followers.
Mayan followers. Yeah. Maybe he does. I don't know.
Okay.
With that, Happy New Year to all. Drive safely New Year's Eve. If you take a cab.
Yes.
Operation Rudolph. Make sure you
maybe
you
Steve
get
will
home
drive
safe.
You home.
Maybe Steve will drive you home. But make sure you get home safe. Be responsible. And let's all enter the new year in good health and in a happy mood. Art Factora, Happy New Year, sir.
You too, sir.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.